I brought a picture with me this morning. It was celebrating my mom's birthday about a month ago on her front porch in a rocker. It was 70 degrees that day. She's wrapped up in a blanket, and there's Brother Jim, Pastor Jim, pardon, and his wife celebrating a birthday with her, wrapped up. So I'm going to leave this here on the pulpit for Jim and Diane to have, and I appreciate having that chance. I wanted to bring her today, but anything below 70 degrees, and we could have had a 70 degree day today, but it wasn't for this weekend. We've had some recently, and we probably will have some more. I took an opportunity getting here a little early to go back through the old Sunday school class area up on the second floor and all to bring back some of the memories I have of this church growing up here, being saved here, and to go into the small Sunday school rooms. They're small now. Back then, they were a lot larger. And just visualize what I remember they looking like many years ago with the classes and the teachers. They're all gone now. Many of them have gone home to be with the Lord. But the work that they started here and carried forth here continues. And they continue through us. We still meet. The pulpit is still warm. And the organ and the instruments and things come and go, but the word still is taught and preached and shared here down through the years. And this place will one day pass away like old Ettrick School has passed away and like much of Ettrick is passing away, but the ministry continues forward. So it's my privilege here to speak today, having Laura and my son and grandbabies here. So hopefully with the distractions, we'll overcome my inability to speak and stay focused on the message. I've been going through scripture for some time now, well over 10 years. I was teaching a Sunday school class on a regular basis 10 years or so ago. And we were teaching on the feeding of the 5,000, and there was a verse there that just shattered my mind, and the fact that the disciples were looking at the little boy's lunch and how small it was and the multitude, 5,000 or so, and how Jesus saw the crowd differently. You recall that section of scripture where Jesus saw sheep without a shepherd, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. So Jesus used his heart of compassion and saw the same multitude the disciples saw. But he saw them differently because he was using his heart. And so I'm convinced that we can use scripture. I believe the Lord would have us to see things his way. And it's recorded in scripture. And so for the last 10 years or so, and who knows how much longer, each time I turn the page of scripture, it has another means of improving our vision to see the world the way the Lord sees them. And not so much the way the disciples saw them or others saw them. And today's message will be no exception. I think I recall speaking one time about David and how David went to the battlefield as a little lad. And here was the mighty army of Israel, the Hebrew army, that was confronted with the giant David. And how the Israeli army battle trained and battle ready and battle experience Israeli army, Hebrew army, was fearful of the giant because they saw his armor, his sword and helmet and shield and so forth, and his huge size. But David didn't see any of those things. David saw a stone in his hand and a sling, and that's all he had to work with, but he saw an opportunity just below the helmet of the giant that he took advantage of. And so scripture points out that if we study scripture and look for ways and means that's spelled out in scripture, we can improve our vision. I'm reminded about Paul on the shipwreck, that story where for many days and nights they were at sea and the ship just tossed in the water and the rain and in darkness, there was no light both day and night for many days. And how the shipwrecked crew, these were seasoned, experienced fishermen, saw no hope. And yet the Apostle Paul saw no loss of life. The same storm, the same ship. And we are told in Scripture how Paul had spent time in prayer and was using faith, like today we use radar. We use radar to go through storms. We use radar to go through fog and darkness. And so Paul was using that, and he saw through prayer and faith a way out, that no life would be lost. It was proven true. And then also, I think I was here in July, and we looked at Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus was hiding from the Lord, but he wanted to see the Lord and climbed up this huge sycamore tree and looked out through the fine, thick brush of branches and leaves, and how Jesus saw him, because Jesus had been looking for him and seeking him. He had been profiling him, because Zacchaeus was a lost man. And we have that marvelous verse where Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus had no problem seeing Zacchaeus slip up into that tree, because he'd been looking for him. And so we can improve our vision by seeking, and not just seeking to save, seeking and to save. And it'll help improve our vision. And here we are at the Christmas time. No better example. I could speak on that today, but it's just a short passage of Scripture. The wise men. The wise men saw the star and followed it because they used Scripture. And we know that King Herod inquired of the wise men, when did the star appear? When did it appear? It got by King Herod. He didn't know. All of his government officials and experts, it slipped by him because he wasn't using Scripture to see that which the wise men saw. But today I'd like to share a portion of Scripture that's been close to me, how we can improve our vision. And our text is taken from Luke chapter 7. And so I'll read through that portion of Scripture on how we can today improve our vision yet another way. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at the feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owned 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom thou forgivest most, thou hast rightly said. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for thy feet. She hath wiped my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we read through the scripture today, we ask that you take the words here that have been recorded down through the generations for our understanding, that we may see in this situation improved vision, that we will see this woman, this sinner, that had come into the Pharisee's house at meat, not to eat or to dine, but to worship. And that, Lord, we will see what you saw in her as we compare it to what the Pharisee saw in his own house looking at the very same woman. Speak to our hearts today through thy word is my prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we have one Pharisee, a religious man of cloth, perhaps no doubt an upstanding leader in the synagogue, well-knowledged in Scripture. He used Scripture. But for some reason, he was not able to use the Scripture to see what Jesus saw. And so perhaps as we look at the verses here and go through them, we can better see and understand and improve our vision. It says here in verse number 37, and behold, a woman in the city. She was a local. Now, you may not know what's going on in the next city or the next town in that day and time, but this was a local woman. Everybody knew her. They knew her reputation. She was local. And it said here, well, she not only a local, but she was a sinner. Everybody knew it. It was very obvious. Clearly pointed out here in Scripture. But when she knew that Jesus had meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now I'm told that alabaster is a soft stone over in that part of the world and around this point in time. It was a stone that could be easily shaped. I imagine this was before glass blowing and making things, perhaps pottery, but pottery is very porous, and to put ointment in pottery, it would soak it out. But this stone could be carved into, it said here, a box, so let's call it a vase, because getting through the Greek and Hebrew translation, it was more or less a vase of ointment, a box, a container made of alabaster with a very precious ointment that would keep it from evaporating. And so it would be used at an appointed time. It could be in long storage. She perhaps had had this for some time. And so it says here that she stood at his feet behind him weeping. Can't you see that? It's right here in the page. She stood behind Jesus, could not look at him face to face. Stood behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Here's the setting. It's clearly visible here in that verse. And then we are told what the Pharisee saw. In our next verse, 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, invited him there, saw it. It didn't say when he saw her. It said when he saw it. He saw all of it. He saw the woman. He knew her background. She was a sinner, local in the city. But when he saw it, her behind him, verse number 39 tells us that when he saw what was going on in verse 38, her weeping and washing his feet with tears. He saw it all. He saw it. He spake within himself. Have you ever done that? You see things and you really don't want to say anything. You just kind of speak to yourself. Well, what's that phrase, a penny for your thought? What's going on through your mind? You know, here's something that's going on, but you're thinking something else. So what I want us to do today is we can improve our vision by merely how we think of a situation. The Pharisee was thinking this, and it spelled out what he was thinking right here. It's clearly in Scripture what he was thinking, and as we go through, we'll see what Jesus was thinking. And they're vastly different. And so my hope and prayer is, Lord, can I use this portion of Scripture to see the same situation like you saw them, rather than to see the situation like others saw them? And it said here, the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, his thinking, his thought process. This man, talking about Jesus, why, if he was a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. He would have known this. So he began to think that Jesus is not even a prophet. He claims to be the Son of God. He's not even up the rank of a prophet. He would have known this. It got by him. It slipped by him. But it said that this woman touched him. Do you realize the Pharisee well knew, oh, a sinner in church, don't get near me. It's not allowed for a sinner to touch a person of the cloth. And here was a woman not just touching Jesus, kissing him, pouring ointment, rubbing the ointment on his feet. I mean, this was bodily contact, continuously going on. And the Pharisee saw this, and he thought, this man is an imposter. He would have known if he was just a prophet. This was what he was thinking about. Now, Jesus not only recognizes his thought process being different, he also knew the Pharisees' mindset. Isn't that a bit convicting to know, while we're trying to see things the way Jesus sees them, that he already knows how we think in our mind? When we see something in the world and how we think, he knows our very thoughts. And so he used this short parable here to Simon, and without saying anything, without accusing the Pharisee, your thoughts are wrong, he just used a parable. And Jesus answered and said to Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. One owed 10 times as much as the other. And when they had nothing to pay, neither one of them could pay the debt off, he frankly just gave them both. And the question is, tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? And the Pharisee Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You're right. A child could understand that, could it not? And he understood it. Verse 44. Now Jesus turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Do you see her? I see her. Do you see her? Jesus brings the attention to both of them to look at this woman, the same woman. Seest thou this woman? And Jesus proceeds by saying, I entered into thine house. Thou gave me no water. It was expected in that day to be invited guest to a meal. There was no water here. Not only no water, that's all that was expected, water. But there was no water here for my feet. But she didn't have water either. She washed my feet with tears. Perhaps she expected water there. Oh, where's the water? There's no water. No problem. I have water here from tears. And so she washed, Jesus said, my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Not only did she provide the water, but she administered the water far more beyond with the Pharisee. He invited them to a meal, provided the food, no water. And then Jesus said, "But thou gavest me no kiss. For this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss me." It was a greeting kiss. A welcome. Glad you're here. Invited. I'm glad you're here. My guest is here. A holy kiss. A signification of being welcome. But this, just a one kiss. You gave me no kiss. This woman has not stopped kissing me and my feet. He didn't expect the Pharisee to kiss his feet. Perhaps a kiss on the cheek, a hand. But this woman kissed my feet continuously. Do you see what he saw? The Pharisee didn't see that. This is what Jesus saw. And then Jesus says, "I also saw this. My head with oil thou didst not anoint." Just a bit of oil, just olive oil, some oil, an anointing. "But this woman have anointed my feet with ointment." She went to the most holy portion of his body and anointed his feet. Not with oil, but anointed with a fragrance that would be worthy of being in an alabaster box. You wouldn't put olive oil in an expensive, handcrafted, purposely designed to keep fragrance in. You wouldn't put olive oil in that. But you didn't even use oil. She had brought a fragrance. In verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved so much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Who is this? He can do this. Offer forgiveness of sins. In verse 50, "And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." The same woman, the same actions viewed by a Pharisee and by Jesus, saw it, the whole thing, from the moment she came in, no water, looking for one, no water, to begin to weep and shed tears and administer them to his feet and to wipe the feet of her tears with her very own hair. The Pharisee never saw much of that going on. He saw a sinner touching, supposedly, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, or even a prophet. He saw this action of worship. And his mind was consumed. This woman should never touch him. But she was all over him, kissing repetitively, wiping her tears with her very hair, touching him. That's what the Pharisee saw. But Jesus saw a woman, and it says here in verse number 50, "thy faith hath." He saw a woman that had sins, and somehow through perhaps his teaching in the synagogue, perhaps at the feeding of the 5,000, perhaps one of his parables, she had exercised her faith in this man called Jesus. And so we're told here that she had already been forgiven. She had been a woman of a sinner, a great sinner, but she hath been forgiven. And so when she came to him, it was no longer a sinner touching the Lord himself. It was a forgiven sinner. And so that's what Jesus saw. Jesus saw a woman whose sins had been forgiven. He saw a woman that wanted now to worship him. And if you don't think her sins were forgiven before she came to the door, she did all the acts of worship. Humble worship. She stood behind him. The most humble position you could be. And to stoop down, not to anoint his face, to kiss him on the cheek, but to go to the lowest point, taking herself down in a point of worship and elevating the Lord himself. That's what Jesus saw. He saw a woman that needed much forgiveness. And he knew well too, and it's right here in Scripture, that that which receives much forgiveness will no doubt appreciate and love that act in return in great in muchness. It gets on the subject of faith versus works. When a person comes to Christ and exercises their faith and asks the Lord into their heart to ask for forgiveness, to take my sin away, recognizing that we are a sinner, and to ask for forgiveness, forgiveness comes and that person becomes saved, the word that we use, that have been, will receive eternal life and many other benefits, gifts of the Holy Spirit and a whole lot of other things, okay? But you receive forgiveness, and when you do, if it was true repentance and true forgiveness, you will leave a different person. You will no longer use your hair, your tears, in acts of profitability as a sinner would do. Here she could have been the low red light district of her city. The very things that she once did for profit to please others as a sinner, she uses what she has, like David. David used what he had. She used what she had, her hair, her tears, precious ointment that she was maybe saving for some purpose, a profitability. She uses it in the act of worship. And when we come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and however condition you come, at whatever age, you look around and you find out you don't have a whole lot to offer the Lord. David didn't have a lot. He couldn't use a shield. He didn't have any training and hauling all of that. But he had a stone and a sling, and he knew how to use it. He used what he had. Gideon was the same way. Gideon was not a mighty commander, someone that could go out and take on a mighty army. But what he had, he could use. What Moses had, God could use. And so the very things that she was left with when she became a follower and a believer in Christ, she used as an act of worship, which she did. And she went on with it. It was not one kiss. It was continuously. Until she probably could cry no more. You get to where you become tearless. It's not that you're not in that tearful state anymore. It's just that your body has emptied its fluid bag of moisture. And so she poured herself in the act of worship to him. But the Pharisee didn't see that. All he could see was what she had done, who she was, who knew who she was, and the very acts that she's doing now to him, she'd done for profit. Two contrasting things. And it all goes back to how you visualize. Not what you see with your eyes, but how your mind What is your mind, thought? What you're thinking about? I guess I would use the word how we view something. The Pharisee viewed her as a sinner. The Lord viewed her as a woman who had asked for forgiveness, put her faith in Jesus, and now wanted to worship him. The Lord saw the same woman, the same it, the same action that the Pharisee, they both saw the same thing with the human eye, but the Pharisee thought a sinner. Jesus thought the amount of forgiveness it took and the amount of love she is demonstrating. So it's a balance of faith versus works. There are many people that have faith. They have faith in lots of things. Oh, I believe. I hear quite often, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in one God. I believe there is but one God. I believe. Okay, wonderful. But what after that? We better see the world by the works, by their works. That's what Jesus saw. So, Lord, how can I improve my vision when I go out into the world and I see things every day that you do? You see them at the grocery store, the gas station, the world that we live in. You can go, you see them on the tube and the TV. And we can use Scripture to improve our vision by using our heart with compassion. That helps us see a little clearer. We'll see things differently. To, like Paul, his ability of seeing through the storm, through faith and prayer, we can use faith and prayer to improve our vision. Like David, we look at what we have to work with. Not what we could do if we had this to work with. Let's work at not what we don't have or what we could use, but let's look at what we have to work with. And once you take an inventory of what we are able to do, humanly speaking, through a heart of compassion and love and prayer and faith, now let's focus on how we can use that for the Lord, no matter how small it is. And then to be a profiler, we need to be busy looking for the lost. You may not find them at a prayer dinner, you may, but we have to look and to seek out the lost. And they're not hard to find. You can see them by their works. But it's not to be a profiler of the lost, to condemn them, ridicule them, as in the case of Zacchaeus. It was to profile them and follow them, and I know this man that's lost. I know him well. I need, where do you go? Hey, where do you eat? Well, I'm profiling. Oh, I saw him the other day over here. And what you try to do, you're not profiling him to just profile him. You're not seeking him to call him out or to ridicule or convict him. You seek him for the purpose of saving him. We'll see people differently when we put these principles in Scripture to work. And today, in our example of this portion of Scripture, we will see the world differently when we begin to think differently. When we begin to think like Jesus thinks. Well, how can I think how he thinks? We use Scripture because it is the Lord's intention for us to think like he thinks. He wants us to. And he wants us not only to think like him, but be aware of how others think. There are people in the world who do not think like we think. And one most recent example is for 2 years and at least the last 6 months, the political campaign, how most people were viewing the polls. They were watching the polls. Man, every day another poll, 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 poll. Polls everywhere. The world, and especially this country and perhaps the world, watching the polls, relying on things that had happened in the past. How many experts have appeared in the news given their expert way they saw things going? And they were all wrong. Things were completely different on the day after the election, if you recall. And in the back of my mind, as I studied this, I wonder, there were probably just a few people that were thinking. They saw, they had a vision, and they followed the vision that brought them success. We need to use our minds and our brains when we deal with situations of the world. It will go a long way. And so I stand before you today with no real formal training in speech making and speech writing and giving speeches. All I have is the training that I got back over here in the educational building growing up in this church. Not much formal training, and those that were training me weren't speech writers either. All they had was what I have, scripture. And I have the things that they taught me that helped me better see the world. And that's my plan and purpose, is to continue on what they started, to do the same thing, to compel people to use scripture, use the Bible, go hear, go read, spend time in prayer, and see things the way the Lord wants us to see them. It can improve our vision. So, Heavenly Father, as I stand before you today, Lord, I marvel at your scripture, a story that I've heard many times of this lady in the alabaster box. But, Lord, as we get into it, there are things here you want us to see and understand, and to see things the way you see them. And Lord, as we daily turn on the news and the places that we go, if we can just not only have the knowledge and to have the understanding how to improve our vision, but more importantly, use them as tools that we may be instruments used of God, is my prayer. Amen. For a short invitation, we'll just sing a verse. And you can come, or you can stand, or you can just sit. And it's an opportunity to just spend a moment in prayer, to thank the Lord, our salvation, our training, our abilities, our little stone and sling, whatever God has given us, to know that it may look small in the world's sight, but it looks awful different in the Lord's sight.